Ali Tonali, Nitil Lis Mion Tontli, Ioan Macuali, Shualacan, Mochilaca, Nick El Show de Andres Soto. Open Vallejo, a local news project of Informed California, has been reporting on the scandalous local politics of Vallejo, California for a couple of years now. This past week, Open Vallejo broke a deep investigative report on city council member and mayoral candidate Hakeem Brown. This reporting revealed an unacknowledged background of vicious domestic violence, torture, domination, and manipulation of women who were his wives. These revelations and Mr. Brown's weak denials have caused shockwaves through Vallejo politics as endorsements are dropping and other victims of Brown's threats and intimidation are coming forward. Today on El Show, we will have Jeffrey King, CEO and board president of Informed California and the Open Vallejo Project, to discuss the organization, some past stories, especially about the murderous Vallejo Police Department, and the current story of Hakeem Brown and its fallout. All of this and some very cool music. This is El Show de Andres Soto on KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley. Si se puede. All power to the people. Mr. Gene Ammons, and that one is his tune called Jungle Strut from the Boss's Back album. And I'd like to welcome to El Show for the very first time Jeffrey King, who is the CEO and chair of Inform California and of Open Vallejo. Welcome to El Show, Jeffrey.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, you are originally from Vallejo, and you went into the journalism world. You created Inform California for really government accountability, and then you looked back to your hometown. What caused you to decide to start the Open Vallejo Project?
Well, I had been caring for my mom, who was sick for many years with Alzheimer's, and passed away in July of 2018. She'd been an oncology nurse at Kaiser Vallejo her whole career. And it is, I think death is one of those things that really clarifies life, and more so than anything else, I think. And it was very much a, okay, what do I want to do next kind of moment. And I had been spending more time in my hometown, and was reminded of how wonderful the community is there, and learned a bit more about how deeply flawed and corrupt and violent the city government was. And so I was paying a bit more attention. I was around more. And then basically there was a series of events starting with Officer David McLaughlin going viral in two videos, one outside a pizzeria in Walnut Creek while he was off duty, pointing a gun at a man named Santiago Hutchins, and another involving Adrian Burrell trying to film from his own front porch and getting a concussion for doing so. Started paying a bit more attention. And then ultimately, I actually went to Councilmember Hakeem Brown's town hall, excited to meet him because I thought he was a kind of the progressive candidate, kind of how he pitched himself. On the morning of February 9th, 2019, tried to have a conversation with him about police accountability and how I could help, connect with experts. Didn't make a whole lot of headway. And then that night was the night that Willie McCoy, who's a 20-year-old musician going to Laney College, was killed by six officers who fired 55 rounds, 38 of which hit him as he roused from sleep after he fell asleep in his car in a Taco Bell drive-thru. And so that night was really what did it, to try and shine a light on my hometown.
And so you've put this project together and you've brought out these really egregious police stories, the one about sort of like as a trophy, police officers were bending the tips of their badges to indicate kills they had been engaged in, much like notches on the hand of a gun in the Old West. How did you, start digging around and finding this kind of information?
I spent about a year running Open Vallejo as sort of an experiment in transparency, filing a whole lot of public records requests. And I think, they're both a combination of the information I was learning from those request, but also just trying to do this work and build trust and build community around shared ideals of just sort of human dignity and truth and being able to participate in government. I mean, pretty modest things that are supposed to be assumed. It just started to get a lot of traction, and ultimately I learned from a source that this was happening. It's a very credible source. Somebody outside the Vallejo Police Department, and I didn't have a whole lot to go on, but I figured I could at least just obsessively look at the photographs on the Facebook page of the Vallejo Police Department and start looking for badges to see if this was even true. And of the probably thousands of pictures I've reviewed at this point, at least hundreds, there were a handful where it was clear that they were bent. I didn't know why or couldn't prove why. Made some pictures of my own at City Hall during events. And ultimately, the cover photo for the story is a guy named Steve Darden. He's the most lethal cop of the last 20 years in Vallejo. And he appears to have bends in his star-shaped badge at the 4 o'clock and 3 o'clock points, just like the other ones. It's just a little more obvious. And he's actually wearing that badge to the swearing in of the city's first black police chief, Shawnee Williams. He's wearing his honor guard uniform. And the ritual is actually called the Badge of Honor. That's what they call it internally inside this clique. And it's a very large clique. Yeah, so started really to substantiate it, realized that we had to build a database, which we put online. Right now, it's a simple Google spreadsheet, but it will actually be a much more comprehensive database. We got a grant to build it out. But a database of those killings, of each cop who participated, of each cop's badge number. And then ultimately, we're able to develop some additional sourcing within government and law enforcement who were able to confirm what it was called, how it came to be, and what it means.
So that really, reinforces some other stories like gang behavior of L.A. County sheriff's deputies within the jail system, you know, based on which block, you know, they were reflecting the gang culture. So this is the same kind of insider clique behavior that occurs in a lot of paramilitary organizations and the military, where there's the insiders who are willing to, you know, go a little further than others. But then ultimately, in a place like the Vallejo Police Department, when it becomes internalized as the culture, and people who are in it are getting rewarded, you know, like leadership within the Vallejo Police Officers Association, then these, you know, it raises serious concerns about institutional racism and a complete not only willingness to use violence, but really a license to use violence, especially when you have somebody like the Solano County district attorney refusing to hold any of these police accountable for these crimes. How is that starting to come together?
I would actually go a bit further. You're a KPFA host. I'm a lecturer at Berkeley. And yet we're not going as far as people in law enforcement who are, guys are kind of probably more inherently conservative, who their biggest concern about this was not only that it provides a license or cover. There were a number of sources who were very deeply concerned. These are experienced law enforcement people. Very deeply concerned about the incentives it creates. That they were worried, and you can see that you have officers who've not been on the force very long getting in shootings. And I want to contextualize this a little bit. There's a Pew Research study in 2016, a representative sample of about 7,800 officers from around the country, big town, small town, high crime, low crime, just across the board, controlled for it. And 73% of their respondents in this representative nationwide sample conducted by Pew said that they had never fired their weapon ever in the line of duty other than in training or to qualify at the range. And I believe that includes, you know, shooting at a charging dog or some other scenario. What we're looking at is solely the discharge of firearms at people. And so you have officers on the Vallejo Police Department with or former officers, five shootings. In fact, that one I recently learned may have had a sixth, although I haven't confirmed that. Sean Kenny killed three men in 5 months in 2012. Jarrett Tawn, who killed Sean Monterosa, four shootings, one fatal. I'm not saying that each of these guys bent their badge, but this is just the number of shootings. Jim Melville, four. Josh Coleman, four. Steve Darden, four. Joe McCarthy, three. Kent Tribble, three. Matt Komoda, three. And a slew of officers with two shootings each on a force of about 100 in a city of about 120,000 people. So it's really these senior law enforcement folks, including, you know, folks with grants and all that, the incentives this creates.
Sounds like a mafia family.
It's bigger than a clique, a clique, but it's a large one. I can't get into unreported details, but we reported 14 officers, including naming some of them, who we were able to confirm with two or more sources, often with photographs as well. But the overall number is thought to be much higher.
So let's shift gears real quick on the Hakeem Brown thing. You know, you mentioned meeting him on the campaign trail. He portrayed himself as a progressive. The big issue was the Orsam cement plant, and he said he was against it, you know, and he spoke about, you know, he grew up in Vallejo the hard way and had his own issues with the police. But then he gets into office, and he completely flip-flops on Orsam, and he also then becomes a friend of the police union. So to some of us, you know, that looks like, flip-flopping politicians, that's not so new. But for someone like Mr. Brown to then get close with the union, once I heard these stories come out that you're reporting now, it really made me think, well, maybe the police department already knew all this stuff on him and they're squeezing him, you know, on this kind of thing, and getting his support through extorting him with releasing this information. But before we do that, we're going to take a real quick music break. And I want to remind you, we're talking with Jeffrey King, who's the CEO and president of Open Vallejo in Informed California. And you're listening to El Show de Andres Soto here on KPFA 94.1. This is Jungle Strut, but this time by Carlos Santana. Jungle Strut by Carlos Santana. And we are in conversation with Jeffrey King, who is the CEO and board president of Informed California and the Open Vallejo Project. So, Jeffrey, right before the break, you know, I was asking you, switching gears to the issue about Hakeem Brown and this overlap with the police issue. And how did you see that transformation from your perspective as you were finding out things in your investigation about the police? Was there any overlap there? And what about then, how did this information come to you, or was it information that you found in looking at Hakeem Brown?
Hakeem Brown's record and history of violence against women was really an accident. The way we found it, I was backgrounding every official with power in the city of Vallejo and was finding divorces and traffic tickets and things like that, and found a felony conviction in Santa Barbara, which surprised me. Not so much for the felony conviction, because Councilmember Brown owns a cannabis dispensary, and as we know, the criminal justice system is inherently racist, and is there are many, many people involved in the cannabis industry who have who are now able to do it legally but were not at the time. So that didn't really surprise me. The fact that it was in Santa Barbara surprised me a little bit, and so I just pulled that thread, just curious to see what it was. And I want to note that, I mean, there was a serious drug case, for example, in Napa in 2016. It's not even the story, because that's not really, I just didn't feel like that was important. But what we found was as follows. Hakeem Brown has been accused of domestic violence or related crimes in at least 9 different cities. Nine different incidents, including 5 cases resulting in criminal charges. He's convicted in 3. He and his lawyer, on lawyer letterhead as of this week, are still denying 2 of those convictions, saying that he was only convicted of domestic violence in 1 incident in Solano County. He's been accused of striking his pregnant partners on at least 2 occasions. After 1 incident for which he was convicted of felony domestic violence, a woman lost a child. She was 18 years old when this happened. She was never asked directly about a connection between the assaults and losing the child, and he was not charged with that. But 20 years later, she said, in her opinion, that that's what caused it. He's been married to more than 1 woman at the same time, and he's allegedly followed women who moved far away from him and confronted them, and in fact, in at least one instance, brought them back. So that's the kind of thing that we found, that's the kind of information that we found just slowly going through and pulling these court records. I remember sitting in the Yolo County Courthouse and reading the transcript of Shauna Brown's rescue and just becoming very emotional about it. It was so terrible. One officer with the drug task force described as domestic violence bordering on torture. He was not convicted in that case, but nonetheless, I mean, pretty horrifying details. In terms of the connection to the police, what I can say is this. We have ongoing reporting on both the police department and Councilmember Brown. But on 4/20/2012, Councilmember Brown's, then Mr. Brown's, dispensary was raided by a Vallejo Police Crime Suppression Unit. And that unit was made up of officers who are now in the senior leadership of the department or were and recently retired. There's at least one who's a director of the Vallejo Police Officers Association, another one who's allegedly been his badge. And so, you know, I can't go so far as to say that I can't draw a connection at this point. What I can say is that the standard practice for serving a search warrant on somebody is you're going to run a rap sheet and you're going to see who it is that you're likely to encounter. And that's going to show a person's, you know, criminal history. So you want to know if they have violent felonies. You want to know if they have firearms, firearm licenses, that kind of thing. And so they would have run that and they would have known a fair bit about him, at least constructively as a department, prior to endorsing him for the VPOA endorsing him for city council.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen since this story broke, other people have started to talk about their own encounters with Hakeem Brown and, you know, generally, you know, being aggressive and being a hothead, that sort of thing. But there's been political fallout as well as people who have endorsed him, including the Vallejo Chamber of Commerce. Apparently, recently, the Solano County Democratic Central Committee and a couple of his council member colleagues are dropping endorsements. The president of BWAPA, tell us something about that.
Yeah, so there have been a number of rescinded endorsements. Assemblymember Tim Grayson, his council colleague Pippin Du, former council colleague, not colleague, he actually defeated Jess Melgapo. He rescinded John Fox, the school board president, a number of people, as well as the IBU 1245 union put out a very strong statement. Vallejo Chamber of Commerce was actually the first, was a bit surprising in that it's a, you know, relatively business-friendly, he's a businessman, business-friendly, relatively sort of conservative about how they move in politics, organization. They rescinded right away. And then last night, the Solano County Democrats, which then paves the way for the California Democratic Party, which had endorsed him, to rescind as well. Others have not. There's been quite a bit of fallout internally in BWAPA. The Black Women Organized for Political Action is a very close vote. And there are still a number of organizations that are considering the endorsement, Napa Solano Labor Council, the Firefighters Union, SEIU Local 1021 is still considering. And I just want to make a point that's very important for me to make, which is we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We did not time this to the election. We don't do electoral politics. We don't do politics at all. We're a news organization. And so my analysis of the political fallout is, you know, my analysis, but I just want to reassure folks that this was a story that took hundreds of hours to report. I mean, maybe 500 hours. And so, you know, we put it out when it was ready. And I think people are considering, many people reconsidered their support for him.
So, you know, we only got a couple minutes here left. Why don't we talk about Informed California and Open Vallejo? You mentioned it's a 501c3. That means people can donate to you if they want to support this kind of reporting. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your reporting, as well as if they want to donate to help you offset the cost of these intensive investigations?
Yeah, I mean, the Hakeem Brown story probably cost $1,000 in public records alone. Thank you. Yes, the website for Open Vallejo is just openvallejo.org. If folks want to donate, openvallejo.org/donate. That goes to the overarching 501c3. Open Vallejo is the first project. And Open Vallejo is just a news and transparency hub in really what's one of America's worst news deserts. Informed California Foundation, the overarching 501c3, the idea is to use Vallejo as a design lab for pro-transparency, pro-democracy, nonpartisan, pro-journalism interventions, and to try to create toolkits and trainings, legal trainings, a people's J school, scrape public records using technology and build databases that journalists and citizen and resident journalists can use, and then basically open source the entire thing technologically, in terms of expertise, and then really just to make it easier and cheaper and lower the barriers to entry for people to do similar projects however they want to do them in their own communities. It's not us coming in saying, hey, we're gonna you know, do this in your hometown. It's, hey, if you want to do this, here's what's working for us, here's what didn't work so well, and also we can, you know, strategically partner and engage in strategic litigation as well.
Well, great, because we need you in Richmond. So thank you so much, Jeffrey King, CEO and Director of Open Vallejo Informed California, for your work. I'm sure we will have updates on this as this moves forward. The election is only less than 2 weeks away. So thank you so much for that. And I also want to thank everybody, saying domo arigato to EA and Radakil on the board, and Bedankya Zer to all of you, the listeners. And remember, you are part of the problem. And we're going to go out with idle hands, because there are no idle hands. We need all hands on deck. Go ahead.
Listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org.